appreciate it. I was told by more than one person back at home that either you all really like having us here or you're really desperate. And I don't like asking questions might not like the answer to, so we won't ask that question. But either way, it is just an encouragement to us to be here and for you all for having us and those things. We are continuing to pray for you all, and you know, 12 Ryan is praying for you as well. We'll have you turn your Bibles over to the book of Joshua, if you will, to the 14th chapter there. We spent the Sunday school time talking about mountains, and we talked about some physical mountains of the Bible, and we're going to look at one more physical mountain this morning, but we really want to try to apply that and think about spiritual mountains as well, and not just physical ones, and hopefully we'll be able to make sense and be able to guide our thoughts to those things as we make our way through it. In Joshua chapter 14, our thought comes from verse number 12, and we'll just read that verse and then kind of go back and get a little bit of background information from there. But in Joshua chapter 14, in verse number 12, we're told, this is Caleb doing the speaking here, as we'll see in a little bit, but he says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." So we know what's going on here about this time in Joshua with Caleb here. We can go all the way back to the promise that God made to Abraham, that through him and through his son Isaac, a great nation was going to be born, and that great nation was going to have a great land, the promised land of Canaan. They're going to be able to live and thrive in those things. We know as Moses led them out of Egypt, by the grace and mercy of God, they led through the wilderness, they get to the doors of the promised land, and God tells Moses to send out 12 spies, one spy from every tribe, and they were to go out and spy the land, not to look at the inhabitants, not to look at obstacles, but they were to look at how good the land was. They were to make sure that the land was everything God told them it was going to be. So Moses sent those spies out. They spied out the land. Caleb was among them. And of course, they come back. Caleb and Joshua stood firm and said, the land is everything the Lord told us to do. It's flowing with milk and honey. There's grapes the size of our head. There's so much there. And let's go in and take the land. But the other 10, of course, weren't so sure. They didn't care about how good the land was. They only cared about the people of the land. The obstacles. They talked about the city of Jericho and the walls. They talked about the giants in the land, which we'll get to in a moment. But they didn't want to go through that land. And of course, they were sentenced to wander through the wilderness. Those that were alive at that time were not allowed to go into the land. And of course, save Caleb and Joshua, because they stood for the truth. They wanted to go in, so therefore the Lord felt pleased to allow those two of the original nation there to go in. So we get to the point where it's time to conquer the land. It's time to come to Jericho. It's time to start the battle, to knock down the walls, if you will. And of course, Joshua's leading the army. They go in, they destroy Jericho with the plan from God, and then Jericho falls. And we see them beginning to enter the land. They start to push on. They defeated their first enemy, if you will, and they're ready to go and take the rest of the land. At this point in this chapter, the land is getting ready to be divided. You know, the 12 tribes there, they were all to go and take a piece of that land. And so they begin to divvy it up. They begin to see, you know, who wants which piece of land. And in verse number 12, Caleb is pretty outspoken, saying that, I want this particular land. I want this mountain. This particular mountain is the one that I want. And there's some reasons there, and we'll get to those in a bit, but he wants this particular land of Hebron. He wants this mountain, and no other mountain was going to do. And I can only imagine what's going on. If I told you there was a big piece of land and you all could just divide it up amongst yourself, I'm sure there will be some people trying to fight over the same parcel of land. They look at the land and see that it's good for farming or for hunting or these things, and they want this piece of land. When Caleb stood up and said he wanted this land, not one person fought him on it, and we'll see why in just a moment, but Nobody else wanted this land. Nobody else wanted the mountain of Hebron. But he decides he's going to do it. In spite of all going on, Caleb looked upon a mountaintop. He looked at the peak of the mountain and said, you know, this is the one that I want. He looked past the opposition. He looked past all these things. And he says that this land was promised to him, which we'll go back and read there in a moment. But he saw this land as his inheritance. He knew it was promised by God. Therefore, he wanted this mountain. He saw it as a place for his children, his grandchildren to grow old, for them to live there, for them to grow, and for the nation to be blessed. We see that he trusted the promises of God. God promised this land, and when he went to spy out the land, he trusted in that promise. God said he was going to give it to us, and therefore God will. He already knew that this mountain, this area, belonged to God's people. He knew this to be true. He wasn't afraid of the challenges going up to this mountain. And we think for a moment, when you look upon a mountain, what do you think? You know, our first instinct is maybe how beautiful it is and how beautiful these mountains are. But then when you tell me that some crazy person wants to climb that mountain, you know, that's where I'm off. I don't want to climb a mountain. That's too much work. And that's what I see when I see a mountain. Yeah, it's beautiful to look at from the ground up. I really don't like heights. I don't want to stand atop a mountain and look down. This just doesn't appeal to me. But we look at this mountain, we may see a lot of work. We may see challenges that we have to face to get to its peak. You know, and most time from the ground, we can't see what's on the peak of a mountain. We see it in its beauty. We can wonder what's on that peak. We think about Mount Everest, and, you know, the mountain is probably the hardest to climb. People want to climb it, and it's a status symbol if you do climb Mount Everest. There's a great sense of accomplishment for those that reach the top. There's very few people that actually reach the top of Mount Everest, and many have died along the way. They actually use bodies as kind of height markers when they go up the island, up the mountain. When you see this body, you know you're this far up the mountain. And that's how dangerous it is to climb Mount Everest, but people risk their lives. They want to climb that mountain. They want to see its glory. They want to reach that peak. They want to have that accomplishment. But others, you know, climbing Mount Everest, like me, there's no way that I would ever climb Mount Everest. It's too dangerous. It's not worth it to me. And sometimes we think that in our spiritual lives. We look at spiritual mountains and we don't want to climb them because of the work. We don't want to climb them because it's just too hard. We'd rather stay home. There's always going to be mountains. There's always going to be things in our past waiting for us to conquer, waiting for us to climb. And there's usually great things at their peaks. And we're promised great things after we climb these mountains. But are we willing to really climb that mountain? We want to ask that question, will you take the mountain? Will you take the mountain the Lord has for you? Are you going to climb them like Caleb and desire those things? Or are we just going to be afraid like the rest of the nation of Israel and not climb those mountains? We're going to back up to verse number 6 in Joshua 14 and get a little more background as why Caleb wants this mountain. Why Caleb desires these things. In Joshua 14 and verse number 6, he says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea." So this is Caleb and talking to Joshua, who's kind of taken over as the leader. And I can only imagine that Caleb and Joshua are really good friends at this point. They were the only two that stood up and wanted to take the land the first time. And no doubt they've come to have a great relationship. And Caleb's talking to Joshua and says, you know, Moses made a promise to us. He made a promise that God gave Moses to give, but he made a promise concerning this land of Kadesh Barnea, which we'll look at in a moment. But he made a promise between me and you and God. And he goes on to say, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Caleb begins to recount. You know, don't you remember when Moses came to us, sent us to the land, and I was sent to Kadesh Barnea to spy out that land, and I came back and I told the people how great it was and that we need to go out and conquer this land. But the rest of the people, they weren't so sure, and they melted the hearts of the nation. They turned away from God. They wanted to go a different path. But just remember these things. And he says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And that's a lesson we can have for us all, that he wholly followed the Lord thy God. He didn't just partially do it. It was a wholeheartedly following the Lord. Verse number 9 tells them, Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. So this is why Caleb wants this particular part of land. As they're walking through it, he comes back with that good report. The people decide not to go on it. But Moses told them, surely that land, the very land you walked on, is going to be yours. So Caleb wants this land because it was promised to him. It's special to him. In verse number 10, he says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake the word unto Moses while the children of Israel watered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. So he was 40 when they went to spy out the land. Now he's 85, remembering these promises. And he says, the Lord has kept me alive. You know, all the others in that group have perished, but me and you, you know, Joshua and I, we're still alive. And at 85 years old, I am going to claim this promise. And notice verse number 11. This is something I think that we can all desire in our lives. But he says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. He's saying, I am as strong at 85 years old than I was at 40. That just does not make sense to us, does it? The older we get, we reach our peak, and then it's downhill from there. I don't know many 85-year-olds that will say that they're as strong as they are now as they were when they were 40. But this is the day in Caleb's case. He's still a strong man. He's still energized. He's still young in his mind. And it says, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. So he's like, just as I was ready for war then, ready to fight those battles, I'm even more ready now. I'm ready to go take that land in my 80s. Verse 12, our text says, now therefore give me this mountain, the mountain that he walked on, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, and then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. That mountain he wanted, that Kadesh-Barnea, also known as Hebron, he gave him that mountain. He says, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Notice that mentioned time and time again, that he wholly followed the Lord. And that's important in our lives as we work our way through this, that we need to fully follow the Lord. It says, in the name of Hebron before was Kijath-Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. So we see this mountain of Hebron that Caleb wanted. No one else wanted this mountain, and we're going to look at why in just a second, but nobody else wanted this mountain. So we're going to notice 5 things about this mountain, about these things going on here, and hopefully we'll be able to apply it to our spiritual lives and spiritual mountains and things as we come in contact with. We first want to look at the people of the mountain. Verse 12 again, he says that how the Anakims were there. The Anakims dwelt on this mountain. That may not mean anything to us. That may not really, you know, who all were the Anakims? That doesn't really draw for us. But if we go back to Numbers chapter 13, and we'll see a little more about these people here. And then I think we'll be able to get an easier grasp on what's going on. But in Numbers chapter 13 and verse number 22, he says, and they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, this land which Caleb wanted, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmah, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. So in this land, we see these 3 men who were children of Anak. Again, that really doesn't mean much to us. But if we go down to verse number 27, it says, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. So for whatever reason, they're worried about these children of Anak. They're scared of them. Verse number 29 says, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea in the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." So now we see why they were so scared of the children of Anak. They were giants. You know, Goliath is said to be a children of Anak. That's where he came from. This mighty man Goliath was an ancestor of these men. That's why they were scared. It says we go and see the children of Anak, how great they were. We looked as grasshoppers. There's no way we could fight these men. But Caleb said, "Let's go in and take it." 45 years later, Caleb says, "I want this mountain. I don't want the other places. I want the mountain where the giants live." Think about what Caleb's saying. There was no doubt easier lands to conquer. After conquering Jericho, the lands behind it would have been pretty easy to go get. But he says, "I want the land where the giants dwell, where they still dwell." They haven't fought the giants yet. And when they were dividing up the land, they were also dividing up Israel's army. You know, this is your land for your inheritance, so you take your people, your family, your servants, the people you have with you, and then you're going to go and conquer the rest of that land. Not the whole army of Israel, just you, your family, your servants, your people. So Caleb wasn't going to have the great army of Israel to go up against these giants. But nonetheless, he said, "I want this mountain. I want the mountain where the giants are. On this mountain were the people, the enemies of God. They didn't like God. They didn't like the fact that God gave their land away, that the children of Israel were followers of Him, and they were going to go and conquer the mountain. They were enemies. You know, there's many enemies of God in our life, as we see in our world today. And there's many mountains for us to climb. There's giants in our way. There's many versions of the truth out there, or so-called truth out there. You know, they preach that there's more than one way. There's more than one way to heaven. There's more than one way of living life. But we know there's just one way, that the Lord said He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way to climb these mountains, and it's the Lord's way. We're not going to get to the peak of the mountain as if we do it any other way. There's only one path. To get to the mountain we looked at in Isaiah and Sunday school, to get to that mountain where the Lord, we're going to worship the Lord, there's only one path. The Lord is going to lead those people there, but they're not going to come to that mountain any other way but when the Lord draws them and takes them there. But we see the people of the mountain. They were great. They were giants. There was enemies of God. Enemies of the people of Israel. These great warriors, if you will. And think about it. David fought Goliath, and we take that as one of the biggest upsets in history, and we should. But Caleb was about to take on all the giants, if you will. A whole mountain full of giants, and Caleb was like, "We're going to go take it. We're going to take the few people we have, and we're going to go and fight these men." So we see the people of the mountain. Next, we want to look at the purpose of the mountain. You know, why is this mountain here? If we look back in Genesis chapter 17, if you will, you know, sometimes we ask the question, why are mountains in our path? We come to a place in our lives where maybe things are going well, and then we, you know, smack our face upon a mountain. Something we have to climb, something we have to get over. And no doubt that mountain is full of giants in our eyes and full of enemies of God, and it's going to be a hard climb. But why is that mountain there? Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 6. It says, "And I will make thee exceeding fruitful." Again, this is the promise that God was giving to Abraham. It says, "And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations. For an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." So we see this purpose of the mountain that we were talking about, of Kadesh Barnea or Hebron, if you will. The purpose of that mountain was to be a gift from God. You know, God said, "Abraham, I am going to give you this place to your people. And I am going to be your God. They're going to be my people. You're going to live in this land, or your ancestors are going to live in this land, and they're going to rejoice in it. And it was going to be a gift for him. And we think about what a gift is. You know, David over in 2 Samuel said that he wouldn't sacrifice to God something that cost him nothing. A gift needs to cost us something. If we're just given something that doesn't affect us in any way, or just something we found, we're just given as a gift, it's not really that good of a gift. A gift should cost us something. You know, climbing that mountain, it cost a lot to obtain. And, you know, not to God. God owns everything. But the people of Israel had to put in some work. They had to go and take that gift. They had to realize what needed to go in. But this mountain was a gift from God. If we look back in Joshua chapter 1, if you will, we see this emphasized once again about the gift of God that he was given to these people. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 2. He says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them," there again, as a gift, "even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." So every place they walked upon. "From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, and river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." So we see here promises of God, of this great gift once again. I promised Abraham this land. I promised the people of Israel this land, and I'm making the same promise to you, Joshua, that no man is going to fight you. No man is going to be able to come up against you and defeat you. You're going to go in, you're going to conquer this land. And notice how he says over and over again that it's going to be all the land. And all the people are going to fall, not just some. Skip down to verse number 9. He says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." They're told not to be afraid. The Canaan was given to you as a gift. Don't be afraid to take it. You know, under any normal circumstances, there was many reasons to be afraid. We see the 12 spies, the 10 of them were afraid. The nation of Israel was afraid. The giants were scary. I can't imagine what my mindset would be like if you told me that I had to go fight these giants. But they were afraid. But the Lord is saying, don't be afraid, because it's a gift. It's promised of me. You know, sometimes mountains come into our lives and they're hard to climb. Don't make no mistake. You know, God makes over again to be, you know, be strong, don't be afraid, climb this mountain. But he didn't say it was just going to be easy. Otherwise, he just would have said, walk right up there and set up your tents and just live there. But they had to conquer. They had to go to battle. They had to put forth work. They had to climb the mountain. And sometimes we wonder why. What's the purpose of these mountains? But I think as we climb them, and maybe we don't realize it when we're going through a battle or a struggle or climbing a mountain, but when we reach the top, how often do we just look back and just, wow, look at everything God had to do to get us here. We don't realize when we're going through, but when we look back, look at all the things that God had to do. I can only imagine when Caleb reached the top of that mountain. And he looked back and saw all the lands that were destroyed and all the giants that once were. And just, wow, this is what God had to do. And maybe that purpose of that mountain is to make us rely more on him. It takes great faith for us to climb those mountains. We have to rely solely on him. We can't defeat those giants. There's no way that Caleb and his men could have defeated those giants. They had to rely on God. The people of Israel could never enter Canaan alone. They had to rely on God to climb that mountain. You know, we won't word them there, but we think about all those giants, all those people in the way, and they had to go through it. We think about the truth. Over in Zechariah, won't turn there, but it talks about the mountain of truth and the holy mountain of God, the holy city there on the mountain. Think about all the trials it takes for us to get to the truth. We know the truth, but sometimes that truth is on a mountaintop. And we got to climb. We got to get there. We have to study. We have to work at it. We have to fight enemies on our way to the truth. We can never come to that truth alone. You know, sometimes we get so frustrated with people because they don't know the truth. And I get that way sometimes, but we shouldn't. They don't know the truth because the Lord hasn't revealed it. And we only know the truth because the Lord had revealed it. We've got to rely on Him. I like what Joshua said in chapter 14, our text verse. And just turn there for a second. In chapter 14, and verse number 12. He says, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced." But notice what he says next. He said, "I want this mountain. The city is great. The Anakims are there and those things, but I still want this mountain." But notice what he says next. He says, "If so be the Lord will be with me." Say, if the Lord is with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. He didn't want this mountain because he could drive them out. He says, if the Lord is with me, which I believe he is, that's why I'm asking for this mountain, then I shall. Not that I might, not that it's a possibility, but I shall drive them out. It took a lot of faith in the Lord. You know, Caleb was going against these giants, and he says, God is going to be with me. And if God is with me, who can be against me? I'm going to go and take this mountain. And sometimes that's the purpose of the mountain, is for us to rely on God. For us to learn a lesson. For us to lean on Him. To wholly follow God, to wholeheartedly follow Him. And that's the lesson the Israelites needed to learn, to trust in Him. They were scared 40 years prior. And now all of a sudden they're like, okay, Lord, we trust you. We're ready to go in. Sometimes that's the lesson we need to learn. Let's look at the preparation of the mountain. This mountain was prepared. It wasn't just there. It didn't just happen to stand there. It wasn't just there by accident. The Lord says, you know, take this land. Oh man, there's giants there. This mountain was there. He was placed there by God. Hebron was placed there. The giants were there. They're on purpose. There was obstacles going into the land on purpose. If the Lord wanted to, He could have just made it so that even Abraham and Isaac could have walked on this land, set up shop, and just lived there. But there was obstacles in the land. And they were there on purpose. We think about Jonah and the great fish. And there's many debates on whether the fish was able to do it, whether there's a whale or fish big enough in the world today to be able to swallow Jonah whole, and if it could Jonah actually live in the fish's belly? And all of that does not matter. I don't care if they never find a fish that could possibly do it. Because if you go read that account, it says the Lord prepared a fish. The Lord prepared it. It wasn't just there by accident. It could be the only fish of its kind. It could have been there to swallow Jonah up, and after it spat out Jonah, that fish could have been gone from existence. We don't know. The Lord prepared that fish. This mountain was prepared by God for the nation of Israel to go through. The mountains in our lives are prepared for by God. It was prepared especially for Caleb. You look down at verse number 24 of chapter 14, and I realize now there is no 24, so I think it might be 14. 14 verse 14, he says, "Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord thy God." It was prepared for Caleb. It was his inheritance. That mountain was prepared by God to one day give to Caleb. That was the purpose of this mountain. It was prepared. We think about the mountains in our lives that are prepared just for us. You know, there'd be various reasons. Maybe it is for us to rely on God more. Maybe in a way it's for us to punish us a little bit, that we're going to have to go through something. But more often than not, it's to teach us to rely upon Him and to reach the top. We think about Job. You think about mountains in our lives. We don't face anything like Job did. Job had mountain after mountain to climb. But we find it comforting because Job, those mountains were prepared just for Job. Think about how many of us could climb those mountains. But when Satan came to God, he says, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And then he says, "You can do this, but not this." So he said, "You can touch his livestock. You can touch his houses and those things, his way, his wealth, his way of living." And he did so. Satan destroyed all that. Job had to climb that mountain. And then he reached the peak. And then God prepared another mountain. He says, "Okay, you can touch his family. You can kill off his kids. Just don't touch Job," or "you can get rid of his health and those things." And each time, Job had to climb another mountain. But each one of those were prepared for by God. God was still in control. We think about the mountains we climb. God is still in control. We think about the mountains in our country. You know, this is a mountain we must climb. But for whatever reason, it's prepared for by God. Maybe it's to teach us our lesson that we didn't do what we were supposed to do. Maybe it's to teach us to really rely upon Him and not just say the words. But for whatever reason, they're set there by God. They're prepared specifically for us to go through. We see time and time again throughout the Scriptures that Satan is not allowed to work on his people without God's permission. Satan cannot attack us. Satan cannot touch us, cannot harm us, cannot do anything unless God says, okay, go ahead. And we should take great joy in that. That anything we come in contact with, God prepared for us. And then 1 Corinthians 10:13 says He also provided us a way to escape. And of course, that way is reliance upon Him. So we see the preparation of this mountain. It's prepared by God for whatever reason, for us to rely upon Him, to climb to that top. And then we want to look at the preparation for the mountain. We see that the mountain was prepared by God for this situation that Caleb had to climb. Mountains are prepared by God for us to climb, but we can't just climb them without preparing ourselves. You know, Caleb didn't just say, I want Hebron just because. He didn't wake up one day and, you know, looked at a map and said, I want this land. No, he prepared for it. He knew what he was about to ask for. We think about those that climb mountains and climb Everest. They don't just wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm going to go climb the biggest, scariest mountain I can find. No, there's years of preparation. They climb smaller mountains. They learn how to breathe at higher altitudes. They learn how to use the equipment. They learn as much as they can about safety, and they build up to those bigger mountains. We need to prepare for those mountains. You know, Caleb always prepared to take those mountains. We go back to our text in Joshua 14 and verse number 7. He says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me and made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Caleb was preparing to take this mountain. He went and spied out the land. He saw how good it was. He saw the giants there, and he says, we can take it. He says, I wholly followed the Lord my God. That's how he prepared to take that mountain. He took all human reasoning out of it and said, I wholly follow the Lord. I trust Him in all things, and I am going to prepare to take this mountain. It was a lifetime for him to prepare. We look at Caleb's trust in God. It didn't just start when he was a spy. It started when he was a kid. He grew up in those things. He had faith in the Lord. So when he saw the giants, he wasn't scared. He wasn't wavering. He knew who he trusted. He knew whom he has believed in. He was preparing for that mountain all his life. Goliath was told of him that he was a warrior from his youth. I can't remember how they put it, but he was a warrior from his youth. He prepared all of his life to fight battles, and little old David, a shepherd boy, was preparing his whole life to be a servant of God. Being a whole life to be a servant of God and to wholly follow Him. Not to be a warrior, but to be a servant. And that's what Caleb is here. He's a servant of the Lord, ready to take on this mountain. We don't just wake up on a limb and say, you know what, I'm going to go attack this mountain day after day. No, it's a lot of work. We have to prepare ourselves. You know, these mountains, these preparation of the mountains start through prayer and the study of God's Word. If our prayer life isn't what it's supposed to be, if our study life isn't what it's supposed to be, we're never going to take on those mountains. We'll never be able to. We'll start and we'll fail. We got to prepare for them. We got to prepare for those mountains. In Zechariah, when it talks about the mountain of truth, and we should desire to have the truth, but we got to prepare for it. We got to study for it. We got to know what's going on. And then we come to the peak of the mountain. We know that we must prepare to climb the mountain. We must prepare to climb that mountain that was prepared for us by God. But what lies at its peak? You know, this is what we always wonder. You know, why are we going through this? Is it going to be worth it? We think about that in our life sometimes, don't we? We go through trials in our lives. You know, we think as a Christian people, how hard the road is. Is it going to be worth it? Of course we know it is. We know those things. We know who wins. We know the end. But sometimes the fight doesn't seem worth it. We want to give up. We want to just to stop. But we see what's on the peak. You know, Caleb was focused on that peak. He knew what was there because he already seen it. He knew what was on that mountaintop. Just like we know what's at the peak of our mountain. We can read the scriptures and see what lies for us. We can see the city made of gold and all those things. We know what's at its peak. Caleb knew. He saw the land. He saw the battles being won by God far before they were ever fought. He knew they were going to win. David told him, he said, you know, told Goliath, the Lord is going to deliver you in my hand. He already promised. He's going to deliver. We know what's going to happen. We just got to have the faith to do it. We look in Joshua chapter 15, if you will. Joshua chapter 15 and verse number 13. Says, and unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the command of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Abraham, the Talmai, the children of Anak. So as Caleb began to drive out those men, the three men, the children of Anak, those three biggest, baddest giants, if you will, the ones everyone was scared of, he started driving them out because he knew it was at his peak. He knew that this land was given to him. He knew that this land was going to be great for him and his family, that he was willing to put forth the work. He was going to drive out these men. He drove them out. He fought the battles. And if you look back in verse 15 of chapter 14, we see what really lied at that peak of that mountain. You know, we see what Caleb had to go through to drive out those giants. And if we kept reading in chapter 15, he goes on and says, you know, he gives others the opportunity to go fight that mountain. He tells them, well, whoever takes on these giants, whoever takes on the giants a little bit further ahead, you know, I'm going to give you my daughter to wife, and that land will be yours to live on. And people took him up on that. It turns out his brother took him up on that and drove out those lands, and he was able to marry Caleb's daughter and just start his life there. But in verse 15 of chapter 14, after Caleb declared he wants this mountain, after he begins to drive out the people, he says, in the name of Hebron before was Kirjath-Abarah, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. The land was peaceful. Now, that does not make sense to us. The Middle East has never been peaceful in my lifetime. These lands have always been contested and been fought over. But it said, in this time, and we learned that as long as Caleb was lived, as long as Caleb was alive, this land was have peace from war. So while the others, they didn't do exactly what they were supposed to do sometimes, and their lands were always being contested and wars were being fought. But as long as Caleb was alive, this land of Hebron never had another war. It was a land of peace from war. It was a land of rest for Caleb and his family and those generations there. That's what lied at the peak of that mountain for Caleb was peace. At the top of our mountains that we climb lies peace. The Lord has promised us peace that passes all understanding. But sometimes we got to climb the mountain to get it. And eventually we're going to have perfect peace when we're with Him in glory. But we got to climb the mountains to get there. We're told that there are rewards for those that overcome. So the overcomers, they're going to be granted certain rewards. But they're called overcomers for a reason. They're not just wake up one morning and there's peace. No, it's there's overcomers, those that have fought the wars, those that have climbed the mountains time and time again, those that overcome the world, overcome those things. There's rewards, so there's crowns and peace and joy and happiness for those. All because they took on the mountain. They climbed that mountain. You know, Caleb had peace and had great rewards because he said, I wanted that land. I wanted the land full of giants. I wanted to climb to its mountaintops. You know, are we going to do things the easy way or the hard way? Are we going to do things our way or God's way? God put these mountains in front of us for us to climb. He does these things. Now, are we going to climb the mountain or are we going to try to avoid it? You know, think about it. Caleb being, I would assume, best friends with Joshua. They were the only two that wanted to take the land. No doubt they spent the rest of their lives just with each other. And reminiscing of those times saying, oh man, we could have taken that mountain. He could have asked Joshua for anything. He could have went to Joshua and said, you know, buddy, we've been through a lot. We saw the land. We wanted to conquer it. Nobody else would listen to us. Give me that little piece of land over there, nice and flat. You know, all the people are gone. There's no wars to be fought.
Give me that easy land. And Joshua would have said, okay, it's yours, I would imagine. But Caleb asked for the hardest land to possess. He says, I want that land full of giants. That's the land that I wanted. And he climbed it because he knew at the top was going to be a great glory and great gift from God. You know, we think about Christ and Mount Calvary. You know, Christ volunteered for that mountain. He didn't just say, oh, you know, give me an easier road. People misconstrue that when he asked for the cup to pass from him. He wasn't asking not to climb that mountain. He spent his whole life preparing to climb Mount Calvary. He came to this earth knowing that was the mountain he had to climb. That long, winding road to get there. You know, climbing other mountains to reach its top and then go back down in the valleys again and then to climb another mountain. All to be faced with the walk up Calvary. We think about that. We think about the people of Mount Calvary. Those that lined that road. As Christ walked up to that mountain, that spat upon him. That mocked on him. That screamed at him. They were ruthless. They beat upon him. We think about that purpose of that mountain. Now, the purpose of Hebron was to prepare them, was to be a gift for Caleb. To make him rely upon God. But the purpose of Calvary was like none other. The purpose of Calvary was for Christ to die. That's what it was for. It was a place of death. That's what it was for. That was the purpose of Calvary for Christ, was that he died, that others may have hope. We see that God prepared Calvary for a very specific purpose. He prepared the mountain of Hebron. He prepares mountains in our lives, but he prepared Calvary for the place where his son would die. That we could look upon him high and lifted up and know that there is a Savior, there is hope. And we look at Christ's life. Christ prepared himself for Calvary. He knew it. He knew what was coming. He prepared to follow the Lord. He prepared to take on the enemies. He prepared his followers of what was going to come. He made preparations to walk on Calvary, to walk up to Calvary. And then we come to the peak of Calvary. When he got to that top. He got to that peak after all the hard work, all the pain and suffering to go through. He stood there at the peak of Calvary being crucified, hanging on that cross, that he might grant salvation to all who may believe. Amen. That's what lies at the peak of Calvary. The peak of Calvary lays there to salvation for those that call upon his name. At the peak of Calvary where our Savior has died, rest salvation for those who just look and live, as we looked at a couple weeks ago. There's many mountains in our lives, and I guarantee none of those mountains compare to Calvary, that long road that took there. But we see these mountains in our lives, and we see these battles that must be won. We see battles for our churches, battles for our nation, battles for our families and us as individuals. I guarantee you, as we climb those mountains, we rely on the Lord. When we reach its peak, we're going to be able to look back and just see what the Lord has done. Now, when we take ourselves to Calvary, and we put ourselves in that situation where we must be. We just look back. We stand at its peak and look down that mountain and just realize what Christ has done. What a blessing it should be for us to see what the Lord had moved in those things. When we go through our battles and our trials, I guarantee there's not a mountain that we can climb that we're not going to be thankful for in the end. You know, Caleb had a question to ask. He could have asked for anything, but he said, give me this mountain. Give me the mountain full of giants, because that's the mountain the Lord has prepared. Remember, it was promised to him. Caleb said, this is the mountain that God has for me. This is the mountain that I want. And we'll ask the question once again this morning. Will you take that mountain? There's a mountain in front of you the Lord has prepared for you to go through. Are you going to take that mountain, climb to its peak, or are you just going to try to avoid it and run away and hide? Will you take that mountain? Brother, if you'll come and lead us in a song.